Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What does his future hold? I'm not sure he knows, but there are a lot of people in the New York metro who believe the Jets are definitely moving on from Aaron Rodgers. So is there another team out there that would take him as their starting QB? Would he be willing to consider a backup QB spot? There's no way. Now, I don't know Aaron Rodgers personally, but I can't imagine that he'd be willing to go anywhere that didn't guarantee him a starting gig. He's a Hall of Famer, after all. He's won 4 MVPs, 5 MVPs. There's no way his ego would allow for a backup spot. Or even a competition, actually. I can't imagine that that Aaron Rodgers would want to compete or have the appearance of a competition, even if he believed he could win it. No way. So that's one of the major offseason questions, though. Gosh, coaches come first. It is what is typically referred to as Black Monday. We've already had Gerard Mayo fired by the New England Patriots. That happened not long after they beat the Bills, but lost the number one overall draft pick coming up next spring. Figure that one out. I was stunned by this move. I feel like it represents a complete 180 from Bob Kraft, not just the history that he had. And of course, it's easier to keep Bill Belichick when he's winning Super Bowls and getting to Super Bowls. And when you've got this incredible partnership with him and with Tom Brady for so long. But Gerard Mayo's the guy that Bob Kraft handpicked to be the successor to Bill Belichick, and to not give him more than one season. I'm sure there are a lot of factors. It didn't come down to one. The statement from Bob Kraft indicating that this was a very difficult decision, one of the hardest he's ever made. I wonder if the discontent from fans in the final month, the lack of discipline, some of the media faux pas or media miscues by Gerard Mayo during the season, but maybe just the lack of any type of, I don't say any type, the lack of energy, the lack of zeal for the task at hand in the last month, and how poorly the defense played over the course of the last month, really not making a lot of progress, even though that's Gerard's bread and butter. The offensive line was a disaster all season. That's a major priority. They need to get some receivers around Drake May because they love their rookie quarterback. How much of this can you actually blame on Gerard when this roster couldn't compete with many of the other teams in the NFL as currently constituted? I was really surprised. And Mayo himself, and I know it's after the fact now, we know the answer to this question, but Mayo himself was asked about his job status when they had beaten Buffalo.
For me, it's all about just this game. You know, to go back to the start, it's all about this game, and we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Well, yes, we are definitely talking about it tomorrow, today, which is Monday. Also, this idea that the fans wanted the Patriots to lose so that they could secure the number one pick.
Anytime we step foot, and I've said this over the past couple of weeks, as a player, as a coach, we always want to go out there and win.
Yeah, I don't think that that's anything Bob Kraft or the Patriots front office would tell a coach, especially not after what happened with Brian Flores in Miami, right? And his accusations that the Miami owner had told him to lose and actually built financial incentives into his contract, maybe under the table, if he would lose so that they could get a higher draft pick. As it turns out, Mayo loses his job, even though he wins the game, and the Patriots lose that number one pick. If you're wondering about the draft order, I didn't anticipate starting the hour like this, but since we're on the topic, it is the Titans who end up with the number one overall draft pick. I wonder if they will select a quarterback. Oh, dear.
Will Levis.
Thank you, Will Levis. Is that what Titans fans are saying? Thank you, Will Levis. We suffered through a 3-14 disaster of a year. I don't know what happens with Callahan either. I hate the idea of firing a coach after 1 year. I think that's a really bad idea. It's like blaming him for taking a bunch of broken eggs out of a carton and not being able to turn them into a beautiful omelet. And in that case, you could turn the carton upside down, at least pour them into the pan. But damaged eggs, damaged goods, it's hard to ask a quarterback, or, well, it's hard to ask a coach to turn a ship around that's been going full speed in the other direction, and to do it without him being able to bring in a lot of his own players, to do it with only just 1 year to establish his system and his language and his voice and his own coaching staff. And in the case of the Patriots, you had a bunch of coaches on his staff that were brand new. Mayo wasn't the only rookie on that coaching staff, meaning he was the rookie head coach. Of course, he had coached under Belichick. But there's not a lot of patience in the NFL anymore. And we talked about this with Mike Golic. We're going to bring back part of that conversation from Detroit in our next segment. But we talked about it with Mike Golic, who was working on Westwood One last night. And he was saying the NFL is actually trying to caution owners not to be so impatient, not to have such a knee-jerk reaction. But here is Bob Kraft, one of the most established owners, and not to mention successful over the past 20 years, making the decision to fire a coach that he handpicked after just one season. Back to draft order, the Titans 1, the Browns 2. A lot of people believe Kevin Stefanski won't survive this 3-14 season in Cleveland. Though, again, I don't know how the heck you blame him for Deshaun Watson. How do you blame your head coach? It's like having a patsy. You need a fall guy. Not that kind. I can't believe that, well, I guess I should be able to believe that the Haslams would make this move, but it is not Kevin Stefanski's fault that you put a really heavy stone tied to rope around his neck and then told him to somehow swim in water, murky, sharky, fested waters. I hate that if they fire him, but Kevin Stefanski will get another job. He's 1 year removed from being coach of the year. And then the Giants at number 3, they also go 3-14. And there are questions about Brian Daboll and certainly about the front office in New York. Patriots end up picking number 4. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Will it be a Black Monday? Will it be a Dark Monday? Will the Cowboys make a move? What about the Saints? We don't think Thomas Brown is long for this world. That's dramatic. In Chicago, he's not dying. He's just not going to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. They've got bigger ideas and bigger plans. But in the midst of this darkness for those teams that missed the playoffs, Atlanta, Cincinnati, though they certainly did put themselves in position as best they could, we've got the playoff schedule hot off the presses. Now, if you're watching Sunday Night Football, maybe you saw it. It was revealed in the first quarter, which I thought was impressive. A sneaky little move there by the NFL, knowing that this game on Sunday Night Football between the Lions and Vikings would have a massive audience. They go ahead and they release the schedule early. Chargers at the Texans. Houston stuck in that first playoff game on Wild Card Weekend. Hey, you know how you avoid playing at 3:30 on a Saturday, 3:30 Central, on a Saturday afternoon Wild Card Weekend? Ryan, are you ready? This is not rocket science, but I feel like it needs to be said. Don't end up playing Wild Card Weekend. Win the top seed in the AFC in the bye, and then you don't have to play at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, but there's Patrick Mahomes exists.
Well, yes, that's true. But I'm just saying there is an alternate route for the Houston Texans should they choose to pursue it. But it is kind of funny. Someone in Houston, Adam Spillane, did you say, did the research? Mm-hmm. And it turns out that in their playoff history, the Texans going back now 14-plus years, Bill O'Brien era, all that jazz, they continue to play in the very first game of Wild Card Weekend. That's even before they expanded to the 3 wild cards, actually, in each conference. Chargers at Texans first game, and then it's a rematch of Steelers and Ravens back in Baltimore at M&T Bank Stadium on Saturday night. And that's the game, first time ever, on Prime Video. So that's the one that the NFL chooses to put on Amazon Prime. I bet they'll break some streaming records. Coming up on Sunday, the first game is Broncos and the Bills. So Buffalo is the 2 seed. Denver back in the playoffs for the first time in 9 years. Congratulations to Sean Payton. The Packers fall all the way to the 7 seed in the NFC after back-to-back losses, including a stunner with the Chicago Bears on Sunday. This is one of Caleb Williams' best games, and there are reasons to... concrete reasons to love what we've seen from Caleb in year one, though of course they ended up with a tough record and they fired their head coach, but you gotta like what he was able to do as the quarterback. So maybe we'll try to sneak that in this hour, but we do have a week to talk about these games and some of these storylines. Packers is the 7 on the road at the Eagles. Remember last year when they faced an NFC East team in the first round? And then the Commanders, speaking of the East, against Tampa Bay. Last time Washington was in the playoffs, Washington was hosting Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, who went on to win the Super Bowl. So interesting, some of the ties. And then finally on Monday night, it's the Vikings at 14-3 who hit the road against the Rams, the NFC West winner. So that's your 5-4 matchup in the NFC. It's the first time ever a 14-win team has been a wild card. But that's what the NFC North looked like in 2024. At A-Law Radio to find me online. Also on our Facebook page, first day. I was going to say first night, but it's not really night anymore for all of you. So first after hours broadcast from our main studios in Lower Manhattan, where now they're charging us even more money to drive into New York City. But that's not anything you care about. I'm just cranky about it. Vikings and Lions were the very last game of the regular season. And here are two things you need to know about this game. In a nutshell, fours are wild. Jahmyr Gibbs with 4 touchdowns and a huge performance, getting maybe some insight from David Montgomery. Don't know what they were talking about on the sidelines, but he and Montgomery talking through the course of the game. Of course, David is hurt, but did not go on IR, so could end up back with the Lions in the playoffs. But Jahmyr Gibbs, the star in this one, with 4 touchdowns. And then the other reason 4 is significant, the Lions defense 4 times saw the Vikings end up in the red zone. And all 4 times, the Lions come up with an answer.
We had some opportunities, and then some other times, they did some good things, you know, in man coverage, and got us off our, you know, first or second reads, and just didn't put the ball in the end zone.
Darnold gets the snap, back to pass, looking right, looking middle, backpedaling, throws for the end zone, incomplete, over the head of Jefferson, and the Vikings turn it over on downs. Darnold had time to survey the field, tried to find Jefferson late. The ball went over his head, and the Lions will take over at their own 3-yard line.
Kind of a synopsis from Ryan Radke on Westwood One about what happened when the Vikings got into the red zone. They didn't really try to run the ball a lot, and I think that's a credit to what you saw from Detroit along the line. But what they did try to do was throw the ball multiple times. Justin Jefferson, while it would have been a 10 on the difficulty scale, drops the touchdown pass in the back of the end zone. He was frustrated with himself, believing, as many of us do, that that's the kind of catch he can make. But the very next snap, what do? They get him wide open in the corner of the end zone. He loses his defense, whether it was a pick or a screen. It just was a brilliant move by him. And he's loose in the back corner of the end zone, only to see the ball go sailing over his head. And really, that was a big issue for Sam Darnold on Sunday Night Football, not just in the red zone. The number of times he sailed a ball over the outstretched hands of TJ Hockenson. I mean, Hockenson is a tall dude, and he had his arms up as far as he could get him, leaping for those passes, but a lot of them were over his head. Now, credit the Detroit defense. They've not played real well the last couple of weeks. They've given up a ton of points, but Alex Anzalone was back, and he makes a difference, and they made Sam Darnold's life miserable on Sunday. The amount of pressure he was facing, having to get rid of the ball quickly. And yes, that can actually explain the balls that are airmailed too, because pressure's coming. You're trying to throw over the top of the pressure, and so the ball is going higher than it should. missed a pair of field goals too. Not that that would have made a difference. They've got to get into the end zone, and they were unable to do it against the Lions. This was a 10-6 game at the half, but broken open in the second half. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Game 272 is an exclamation point for Dan Campbell and his Lions, who end up as the top seed for the first time in their franchise history and also win the NFC North. And, you know, we love his locker room speeches.
That's a hell of a win, guys. All I can think about is, man, we've been forging this stuff now. This has been 3 years in the making, some of it four. But that just doesn't happen. You got to work through it, grind through it, and go through the downs to get to the ups of where we're at. That was unbelievable, man. Division winners, back-to-back seasons, and the number one seed.
A lot of fun to hear Dan with his fiery speeches, and it's the reason why so many people love him. He's authentic. He's enthusiastic, of course. He's energetic. He believes in his guys. He's emotional, meaning the relationships are there, and he's tied to them in more ways than just, hey, we work together. And, of course, now for the Lions, who came so close to appearing in their first ever Super Bowl about 11 months ago, that is the goal for Jared Goff and company.
It's what we talked about when we first got here. You know, certainly when I first got here, was what the opportunity you dream about is being able to win division championships in the NFC North and then ultimately win Super Bowls. And that's what's next for us. I think, yeah, this is fun and exciting, and we obviously wanted it really bad. We're going to enjoy the heck out of it, but it's step one.
170 total yards for Jahmyr Gibbs. Most of those on the ground, of course, and the four touchdowns, as I mentioned. And that means your quarterback doesn't have to throw for a whole lot, though he did find some passing lanes and some connections there in the second half. But Jared Goff also threw two interceptions. The Vikings defense played really well, keeping the team in it as long as they possibly could. It was just too many missed opportunities, too many wasted possessions for the Vikings offense in what was an uncharacteristic loss or uncharacteristic performance by Sam Darnold and his crew. But yeah, all the credit in the world to Jahmyr Gibbs, who's become the bell cow now with Montgomery on the sidelines.
Unbelievable, yeah. I don't know what his numbers were, but yeah, he was impressive. And we kind of came into this one knowing we were going to need him to be. Yeah, and he played his tail off, and our offensive line blocked their tails off. And yeah, he was special today, and we needed him to be.
Disappointing game. Felt like we just, you know, for me personally, didn't hit the throws that I should hit in the red zone, especially early on. Didn't execute the way that we wanted to.
Darnold goes 18 of 41. Maybe later in the game they're trying to throw it more because they're behind. But really, this didn't get away from them until the fourth quarter. Just not a good rhythm for him. He looked off, to be sure. The atmosphere, though, in Detroit, terrific. And Kevin O'Connell among those applauding the Detroit fan base.
They're excited about their team. It's a great atmosphere, for sure. But that's what football this time of year is, especially coming to a place where teams have the success they've had. It's definitely going to be a challenge, for sure.
And now having to go on the road against L.A., can they beat the Rams? Of course. Think about the receivers that we're going to have on the field, too, in that wild card game on Monday night. And this is what we've seen this year from the Vikings, from guys like Justin Jefferson, of course, who's the headliner. You'll hear from him in a second. But Jalen Naylor and T.J. Hockenson and Jordan Addison, who actually only had one catch for no yards last night. But also the versatility of Aaron Jones. And we saw, too, what the Vikings offensive line was able to do for a good portion of the season in establishing the run. They go over 100 yards rushing. And then on the Rams side, with Matthew Stafford, who's already a Super Bowl winner, Puka Nacua, who's back from injury, Cooper Kupp, of course, Kyron Williams continues to be great this season. They've got other pieces back like, yes, thank you, Tyler Higbee. And Tutu Atwell every now and then gets a catch. And so their offense has also been really good. The defense is young. It's performed well enough for them to win the NFC West, but how will they do with these weapons for Minnesota? And yeah, for Justin Jefferson, disappointing last night. Not just the drop, but he was targeted 9 times. Lions defense made life kind of miserable for him. He only had 3 catches for 54 yards.
You know, it's just a learning point. You know, it's just something that we have to look at and figure out. And, you know, we have a big opportunity next week in L.A. So I'm not really going to hang our heads too much on this. They're a great team. They're you know, definitely a team that we probably will see later on in the playoffs.
Yeah, so big deal for the Lions to win this bid and the bye in the first round. I heard an interview with Amon-Ra St. Brown on Westwood One, and he was talking about how much they wanted this so they could have the week off. And can they get more guys back? Like, think about the defensive side with Alex Anzalone, who's such a force, is a wrecking ball, and everyone else has had to step up while he was gone with that broken arm, but he returns from injury really fast. Linebacker ends up with 7 tackles and a quarterback hit last night.
For me personally, I feel like I just committed to recovery early on, and it paid off to come back a little bit ahead of schedule. And, you know, anytime you get hurt or deal with adversity, you know, mindset-wise, it's an opportunity to grow. And I feel like, you know, I've grown in different ways, and, you know, you get the game taken away from you, and when you come back, it's a blessing to play again.
So congratulations to Detroit, another step in history, and maybe, just maybe, the first Super Bowl appearance in their franchise history is on the horizon, because we are here. It's time for the playoffs. Coming up a couple of minutes with Mike Golic after his call of the game with Ryan Radke on Westwood One. A terrific performance for the Lions, and what a way to end the regular season. Good to have you with us. Good morning to you. First full week of January. Time to get back to work. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Goff gets the snap. Handoff Gibbs running left. Cuts it up. Lowers his shoulder. Powering his way to the one. Gets a shove. He's into the end zone. Touchdown Lions. Fourth touchdown tonight for Jahmyr Gibbs. This one from 3 yards out.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
More than just a hat trick for one Jahmyr Gibbs. Incredible performance for him. 170 total yards and 4 scores. And that's Ryan Radke on Westwood One with the call of the Lions win. Mike Golic was alongside, and the NFL vet and longtime analyst joined us on the show from Detroit. In fact, he was still in the car with Ryan Radke at the time, and they went under a bridge, and the phone dropped out, which made us a little nervous. But I want to bring back just a little bit of the conversation because there's so much excitement around the Lions. The building appeared to be raucous and incredible energy, so I asked him what it was like to be inside the stadium.
It was unbelievably loud. It was as loud as we have ever heard that stadium. And even with Minnesota, you know, the team trying to buy up 1,900 tickets for $2 million to sell to their patrons and put behind their bench, they were trying to grow the purple crowd there. but the Detroit crowd was just so loud. And I think there were 2 or 3 Minnesota delay a game. So they were very effective in their cheering, that's for sure.
There were a couple of important 4s in this game. So Jahmyr Gibbs goes for the 4 touchdowns, but also over 4 in the red zone for the Vikings. And they had so many snaps from inside the 5, could not get into the end zone. What stands out about their failed attempts deep down inside?
Well, that was amazing. And they were deep in the red zone. You're talking like the 5-4 yard line. And 2 times they go on downs and 2 times they end up kicking field goals. Of the 4 sides of the ball, the Viking offense, defense, Detroit offense, defense, the Detroit defense stood out the most because the Detroit defense was the most maligned. From weeks 14 to 17, they'd given up 32 points a game, 428 yards a game, 321 passing yards a game. They had just not been good the last few weeks, and they absolutely stepped up tonight. Pressure on Sam Darnold with 4 timely blitzes, not letting the Minnesota receivers get yards after the catch. They were really fired up and played well.
If you are a defense that has to try to slow down and contain Jahmyr Gibbs, Mike, how do you do it?
And it's not just Jahmyr Gibbs. The offensive line is phenomenal. It's just leaning on the defense. Laporta and Brock Wright are excellent blocking tight ends. They have the line and the tight ends to lean enough on the defense for Gibbs to be able to find a hole. And listen, he's been used to splitting time all year with Montgomery.
Right.
2 games ago, he had 25 touches. Last game, 25 touches. Tonight, he had 28 touches. So he has kind of morphed into the running back carrying the load with no problem. Four touchdowns. I mean, it was incredible.
And it was pretty impressive the number of times that he got through the line untouched.
Well, yeah, he actually leads the league in yards before contact and yards after contact. They're over 2.5 each. And he started the game. His first six carries, he had 1 yard. And he ends up with 23 carries for 139 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, again, it's a credit to him, but it's such a credit to that offensive line and tight end as well.
We're excited to have Mike Golic with us on Sunday night after the NFL wraps its regular season. 272 games ends with the Lions and the Vikings on Westwood One, and he called it with Ryan Radke. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, can you remember back to your playing days, Mike, what it was like when the season was done after all of those games? 272, what physically and mentally, what does that feel like?
Well, it's amazing because there are some teams that were still playing in it, but for the most part, teams knew they were out of it. So quite honestly, you're playing to put good play on video and not get hurt. So you're not rehabbing in the offseason. For a team like Atlanta, they were playing to still play the following weeks. And then as soon as Tampa Bay wins and they go to overtime, they know they're out of it. You go from thinking you have a chance to make the playoffs to cleaning out your locker tomorrow.
Mm.
I mean, it can be that quick. And I mean, you know, when the next day you're cleaning out your locker, the team won't be the same next year. Will you be on the team next year? Will you be somewhere else? For the teams that are in the playoffs, it's business as usual. You know, whether you get the week off or not, you start preparing for your next opponent. You go in, you work out, you have meetings, you watch tape. It's kind of, like I said, business as usual. But if not, you know, you start your off season, and every player of the 53 on the active roster is in a different situation.
What would you rather have, Mike, a trip to the playoffs, knowing that you've got that when the regular season wraps up, or a $6 million incentives bonus?
Oh, man. I mean, listen, at being a team sport, I'd rather go. My wife would rather me have the $6 million bonus, for sure. That's a lot. I mean, that's amazing. But listen, making the playoffs and making the Super Bowl is the name of the game.
We've got ways to go, but just for fun, imagining what it would be like to have either the Lions or Vikings in the Super Bowl from the NFC and the Bills with teams that have never won it before. Wow.
Oh, especially Minnesota and Buffalo, both losing 4 and knowing one of them's going to get off to Schneid. I mean, that would be something that you'd get a first timer. Same, obviously, if Detroit made it. But listen, all three are certainly capable of being there and winning, no doubt about it. It's a pretty wide open field.
Got a couple of teams that are back in after what have been extensive droughts, like the Denver Broncos haven't been there since Super Bowl 50. The Washington Commanders, they end a drought as well. So we've got the schedule. What's a game that jumps out at you immediately?
I was talking about this at the end of the game. I look at the 2 seeds, Philadelphia and Green Bay and Buffalo and Denver, because 2 seeds you have to play. You don't get that bye. Philadelphia and Buffalo could easily make and win the Super Bowl, yet they have an extra game. You just don't want to slip up. You don't want to take it for granted. You're in the playoffs. You shouldn't, but it's just get out of that first game and stay in your rhythm.
Mm. While we're talking about new entrants into the playoffs, of course, the Chargers are back too. And so I wanted to ask you, I'm sure Jim Harbaugh's in that conversation, who would be your coach of the year at this point, Mike?
You know, even though they lost tonight, Kevin O'Connell has to be right up there, right? Even though that they're the 5th seed, 14-3 is a hell of a record with, you know, Sam Darnold had a monster year, didn't have a great night, but had a monster year, and finishing 14-3 is just an absolute, I don't think any pundits, I know I didn't pick them to go 14-3, let alone make the playoffs.
And that was the point at which Mike Golic, in his vehicle, went underneath the bridge and we lost him. Though thankfully we got him back when he was out from underneath the bridge, but felt like a good place to cut off the conversation. Now, I did talk to him about the playoff bracket, what we know, and highlighted a couple of games with him, including Ravens and Steelers, because he and Ryan are doing that game on Saturday night on Westwood One. Please catch the podcast. You can get the entire conversation with Golic all by its lonesome and its own link. You don't even have to listen to the rest of the show to get there. All right, a couple of kind of extras. You heard me mention a $6 million bonus. Well, who got that on Sunday? Wow. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's the snap. He's looking left, one-on-one, throws over.
Oh, that's it! Terry McLaurin! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! They've done it again!
Do you believe in miracles? Yes, I do! Oh, Terry McLaurin, Marcus Mariota, perfect ball, ball game, Washington!
Taylor extends his hand, snap, placement made. Cairo Santos, kick is up, and the kick is good!
Yes!
And the Bears have walked off and won in Green Bay, putting to bed two nasty losing streaks. The in-season streak and the Packer streak.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Then you throw in the Carolina Panthers winning in overtime against the Falcons, though it ultimately did not determine the Falcons' fate. They did that on their own. We had some pretty dramatic finishes on Sunday, just not Sunday Night Football. But the Commanders Radio Network, Ryan and I are pretty sure someone threw his headset, maybe a producer, maybe London Fletcher. But that's Bram Weinstein with the call. And then you hear Jeff Joniak on the Bears Radio Network. Yeah, pretty dramatic for them as well. And for Green Bay, it now means they fall to the 7 seed, which is tough. They have to start on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I know Matt LaFleur will tell you, hey, we're all on the same plane here. We're all 0-0, blah, blah, blah. But they're not, actually, because as a 7 seed, you've got a really tough road. And the Eagles hosting as the 2 seed, that's a game that will challenge them. So how do they then turn the page, kind of hit the reset button, especially considering Christian Watson's injury, Jordan Love got injured? This is a big challenge for Matt LaFleur.
Didn't want to go into the playoffs like this, but that's our circumstance. And so we got to be tough-minded and got to be critical and just got to – we got to flip the script as soon as possible and move on to the next game. And like I said, it's a whole new season. And if – We know we got a tough road in front of us, but I think got one that guys are gonna attack for sure.
I think everybody's got to lock in and on you know what we want to do and what we want to accomplish, and know that you know one loss is you done, you going home. So you know the sense of urgency and everything is up. So we just got to know that coming in this whole week, coming in to prepare. Everybody got to be willing to you know give 110% of themselves to what we want to accomplish.
Yeah, so that's Josh Jacobs, and they're all going to say the same thing about flipping the script, so to speak. Now, the Green Bay loss to Chicago meant that Washington kept the 6th seed in the NFC. They didn't have to beat Dallas to do it, but that was a nice way to finish up with a 4-game win streak. And so Dan Quinn, who was with the Cowboys last year when they got shellacked, his defense got shellacked by the Packers in the first round of the playoffs. Now he's got his Commanders entering the postseason on a nice run.
Week 18, it's going to be somewhere. You know, it's on there. We'll be slugging it out with somebody. Could we gain some momentum today, have a running start, so to speak, into the postseason? And I was willing to take that as far as we had to go do that. And there's winning matters, and it may not seem like that on a sheet or otherwise, but no, I didn't check where it is. I think as we're developing our program, if we're going to be about competing and competition, then we've got to stand for that too.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Lots of great storylines heading into next weekend, Supersize Wildcard Weekend. We're going to get to those throughout the week. But on the losing end for the Packers, that's kind of tough, right? Because they put themselves in this situation. Bears are the only team in that division. At least the Packers are in. Bears are the only team that are not in the playoffs. And they've got to look for a head coach. And we know some of the interest is there with Pete Carroll, blah, blah, blah. We'll see how that plays out. But I wanted to pass along the rookie numbers from Caleb Williams. He ends up with a completion rate of nearly 63%, 3,541 passing yards, 20 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions. Also had nearly 500 rushing yards and only lost 2 fumbles. A lot of these are rookie records for the Bears franchise. And he's going to finish with the 5th most single season yards as a rookie, too. So congratulations to Caleb. He established himself. People rave about his professionalism. The Bears themselves talked about his leadership going back to OTAs. They've got their quarterback. Now they need the coach and the staff who can work with him. And I don't know what's going to happen with Ben Johnson. Of course, he's going to have a ton of offers again, the Lions offensive coordinator. But could the Bears potentially lure him away? I mean, kind of interesting, different twist on what happened with the Cowboys last year, right? But Commanders able to lure Dan Quinn away. And could Ben think about staying in the division? I don't know. But they need someone who can continue to develop Caleb Williams. And Thomas Brown is, I don't know if he'll get an interview, but that's probably not where they're going. So we'll see if this turns into a Black Monday. What happens in Dallas? What happens in Miami? Actually, that's another question. And I'm wondering, I know Tua's injured. In fact, he was maybe even still injured, and the Dolphins end up missing the playoffs, so it becomes a moot point. But there are actually people out there, rumblings about Mike McDaniel getting replaced in Miami. And I don't know if Tyreek Hill was just frustrated or not frustrated. What I do know is after the loss, in which he had no targets in the second half. So Jets and Dolphins, remember, the Broncos controlled their own fate. So if they won, they were in. It didn't matter what the Dolphins did, but the Dolphins end up losing. And Tyreek gets almost no looks and very little traffic in this game. And afterwards, kind of disgruntled, maybe even dropping the hint that he is out on the Dolphins.
This is my first time I haven't been in the playoffs, man. So, I mean, for me, like I said, man, I just got to do what's best for me and my family, dog. If that's here, if that's wherever the case may be, man, I'm finna open that door for myself, dog. As I'm opening the door, like I'm out, bro. You know, so it was great playing here, but.
It was great playing here, but. And actually, I'm not sure why the cut. Clips there.
He walks out.
Oh, he walked out. Okay. He did say at the end of the day, I have to do what's best for my career. So I'm out, bruh. Don't know what that means. He and the Dolphins restructured his contract before the season began. And he still has 2 years remaining on the extension he signed a couple years ago. He was also on social media. Love, Finn Nation. Blessing y'all. Open doors for the Hill family forever. Nothing but respect and love. So no real indications there. Well, what about Mike McDaniel and Tyreek Hill's comments?
For me, I hadn't heard that, but just in general, emotions are high, especially after a game like that. But, you know, I think, you know, there will be conversations that will be direct in the next you know, a couple of days, which is kind of the process of the end of season meetings. And you know, I'm not going to put, too much weight on secondhand post game disappointment statements. And we'll see how, you know, the next couple of days progress with those conversations with him and I.
And he wasn't out there on the Dolphins' final two possessions of the game, but Mike did say it wasn't injury-related. Also, this is the quote from McDaniel. I was informed that he was unavailable right before a drive. Ooh, that's some shades of San Francisco, potentially. Now, I don't know if he refused to play. Don't know what was going on. Maybe he was hurt. But it definitely sounds like the frustration has boiled over with the Dolphins. And that now it's not just about Tua being injured during the season. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence. Aaron Rodgers ends up passing for, was it four touchdowns in this game? So he bypasses 500. Only five quarterbacks have ever thrown 500 touchdown passes in NFL history. He becomes the fifth, and he'd been sitting on 499 for quite a while. So he did end up getting number 500, which is cool.
That was good. You know, it was kind of like a old school red zone touchdown like we did for so long in Green Bay, where kind of play breaks down, move up in the pocket, guys keep working. Fun to get conked at.
Rodgers, of course, faces a lot of questions about his future as well. And at this point, he says kind of the philosophical thing, you know, we'll see what happens. He's mentioned he wants to play in New York again. I just can't imagine him taking a job where he'd be the backup QB, but does he think the Jets are in his future?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know, Rich. I did, I don't know that I'd tell you. so I will say that I respect. But truthfully, I don't know. I'm looking forward to those conversations with Woody and Christopher and Jaime and Phil or anybody else.
Me. Welcome to come and talk to me about your future if you like. It's funny he mentions Rich. I'm assuming that's Rich Cimini, longtime Jets insider. Rich and I are both adjunct professors at Syracuse. And so every now and then, we both teach on Mondays in the spring. So every now and then we'll cross paths in the director's office. And Rich, of course, has been on the show before. So yeah, there's a lot in Miami that may end up changing as well, though I don't think at the beginning of the season that was even a possibility, right? Because this was supposed to be the Dolphins' year to capitalize, to make the playoffs and to make some noise. And it just, without the quarterback, without Tua, I know he came back, they just didn't have the rhythm quickly enough and weren't able to settle in where they could start to compete. And then the Bills have a chokehold on that division as it is in the AFC East. So yeah, we've got wildcard weekend ahead of us, but how about this? Thursday, Friday, college football, national semifinals, the two games on Thursday and Friday, then three consecutive days of NFL wildcard action. We're so spoiled. And also, by the end, I may want to poke a fork in my eye, but we're going to get through it one day at a time. Have an awesome Monday. We'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!